Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey Geekscapists, welcome to a brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London, your host. And if this is your first Geekscape, strap yourselves in for all the pop culture talk that you can fit in your geek noggin. We've been doing this for 18 years, pretty much weekly, where I sit down with storytellers, movies, reader games, comic books, TV, and we talk about basically whatever they've been working on. Sometimes they're musicians, sometimes they're actors, directors, sometimes they're just friends of mine who are passionate about this stuff and are like, well, we're going to be talking about this stuff and discussing it and turning it over. Anyway, might as well record it, put it out, and build a community. And we've done that. Geekscape has over 30 shows now on the podcast network. It's amazing. And a lot of those shows came out of people like you who are listening to this or maybe watching this on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitch and being like, hey, this guy can clearly podcast. Why can't I? And not only do they start podcasting here at Geekscape, but they end up getting more listenership and getting more popular. Do I take it personally? No. I am nothing if not a platform for more geek enthusiasm, and that's what we're doing today. We're going to be talking all about the first season of Ahsoka. Should I differentiate a first season? Will there be a second season? Those are all questions we're going to be asking over the course of the next hour. I've got Ian here. He's like the establishment here at Geekscape. You can't really have a discussion show without Ian. The man loves this stuff. And in many ways, me discussing things here on Geekscape was born out of discussions I was having with Ian anyway. We got Garrett here with us, my Padawan. Let's go with that for the Star Wars themed episode. And of course, there must be a dark side to balance the light. That would be Christian Blatt from Marvel Movie Talk, the Blatt Cast, the Geekscape Book Club. They're all sitting in the wings to get this thing started and talk to some Ahsoka. So let me actually check if this is the microphone I want to use. It is. I didn't screw that up. Everything else in my life, yes. But I'll be right back. Let's start the show. We'll come back and we'll talk Ahsoka season one. You're going to have some major spoilers coming your way. So if you haven't watched it, dip out now. All right, Geekscapists, if you're listening to this, it might be because you've already seen the season of Ahsoka that's up on Disney Plus right now. It just culminated. There's tons of questions going forward. This is very much a continuation of things that Dave Filoni set up way back when in Clone Wars, continued in Rebels, and then you see pieces of in The Mandalorian and Boba Fett and now in Ahsoka. As somebody who watched some of the Clone Wars, it didn't start getting really heated in hitting its Filoni groove by the time I was like, yeah, let me start watching something else. I like it. You know, I will continue watching it sporadically. And that kept me from watching Rebels because it's all a continuation. If there's nothing we love here on Geekscape, it's some continuation. It's like, this has to be canon, right? We love our long dramas, right? Doesn't mean I'm going to watch One Piece. Maybe the Netflix show, but we do love our long series and, you know, the comic books, this and that. And of course, if you're talking like people who love comic books, you got to talk about this man who's been doing it since the 70s. And he's been collecting comics for a very long time and he loves it and he loves talking stories. So he's here with us, Mr. Ian Kerner, the establishment here at Geekscape. He's the foundation of any geek conversation that we have here. How are you, buddy?
Doing all right. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. We are so busy in our own lives and in our own pursuits that it's hard to schedule some of these sometimes, but we love doing it. We're going to be texting each other and talking about these things anyway. I love having these conversations. They're imperative to me to put closure and have some context to what I watched. And so I love having you here to kind of help us form some stability in our schedule. We've added my Padawan, Garrett Briones, and my nemesis, Christian. Christian, who I banished to another galaxy whenever he came on Geekscape once, and I was like, wow, this guy's so good at this. I cannot risk having him on the
Jonathan, your hatred only made me stronger. It lifted up the black cast to new heights, and then I was able to come back and shoot lightning into Geekscape many years later.
Well, I'm honored that you put that much in our relationship, that it fueled you. We are talking about Ahsoka. As I've said before, this is going to be your last spoiler warning right here if you're listening audibly or you're watching on one of our outlets. If you've seen it, your friends have seen it, you want to be a part of the discussion, share it with your friends. That really helps us out. Or maybe subscribe and all that stuff. That really helps us. And little reviews help our visibility. So when I reach out and ask for somebody to be on the Geekscape podcast, and their publicist goes and looks at our reviews and looks at what we've been up to, they say, oh yeah, this is awesome. We got some good guests coming up. But this episode, Geekscape, is going to be spoiler-filled and Ahsoka-filled. So where do we want to start with this, guys? I think y'all three were the ones who watched the entirety of Clone Wars, carried it through Rebels, and then I got dropped right into to episode one. And I want to ask about that.
Hey, I saw the Clone Wars movie in the theater.
And you watched the Clone Wars movie in the theater, yeah.
Right?
And I want to ask about that because I was dropped in to episode one of this one, and I don't think it was my lack of familiarity with some of these characters that affected it. I think that out of all eight episodes, one is the one that that's the hump that it has to get over to really get cruising on this season.
Yeah, it's a slow one.
It really throws a lot at you. And I don't think it's just familiarity. I think it's just getting in the groove. I got to say, when I watched that first episode, I was like, oh, I don't know if this is going to be fun for me. Not because it was so steeped in what you had to have seen before. Like you said, there's some pacing issues. There were things I didn't understand. Mainly character stuff, like why would the evil Jedi apprentice wait for Sabine to fight her, even though she had or just gotten what she wanted to get and could have just taken off and gotten that much more ahead of her, especially if she didn't actually kill her. Does that make sense? Little things like that in that first episode. Yeah,
you have that stuff throughout all the Star Wars stuff. There's weird ego stuff with Dark Jedi, you know, or Sith or what have you, to the extent that they're channeling the dark side and, you know, it's all about emotions and passions. I think you could easily say the things they do don't always make sense because they're itching for a fight.
Yes, and I think that as you continue the series and you really get into some of the questionable, like I would say mysterious motivations of my favorite character, Baylan, by the late, great Ray Stevenson, like that, and we can talk about what we thought of the series as a whole if you'd like to, but Ray Stevenson, we just have to acknowledge how great he was in this, as he is in everything.
He was absolutely great.
How badly he'll be missed going forward. He's awesome in every single moment he's in this series.
My big disappointment is as we'll speculate what comes next, and the inability of resolving that storyline. I get they could recast, and that'll be disappointing on some level. It's really a shame.
So ultimately, when you look at like the eight episodes, what did you guys think? Because that first taste for me did not have me anticipating it too much, but they dropped two episodes right away and I could jump into that second one.
Yeah, the second one was much better. But let me say this, and I only really made this connection in my mind just now as I was referencing that first Clone Wars movie, because I got to tell you, I think Clone Wars was great, but I thought it started really slow. And I thought that when it originally came out, I felt in the original movie where Ahsoka's introduced, I rolled my eyes feeling, oh, this is just for kids. They have this kid character. And of course she has to die because we don't know who she is later. So that you know, that was really, you know, for me, like, I was like, whatever, what am I watching? And the first season or so of Clone Wars is very much, it's just, you know, animated action. It takes a while for the story development really to get going. So, you know, a bit different, but again, you know, with the first episode of this, they have to give you a lot, particularly if you haven't watched Clone Wars and Rebels. You know, now I felt that they did a really good job of that backstory stuff. And, you know, I can't speak for people that haven't watched that stuff. But, you know, I mean, for all the people complaining, oh, I don't know who these characters are. You know what? I got to feel sometimes like, so what? Then go with it. I feel like if people didn't know that there was something before that they didn't watch, they wouldn't have been so resistant and angry about that. Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense?
Say it again.
I think that if people didn't know that there was stuff they didn't know, and that
if it had just started as a blank slate and it was just let it rip. Yeah,
you could have the same show and it's a blank slate. So many times they jump you ahead. When The Mandalorian started, the first episode, what do we know? Okay, we heard it was 5 years later. We don't know. We don't know this character. We don't know a lot of things. In fact, it took a while for us to. The whole time we're going, what is this whole thing that we can't take his helmet off? It didn't make any sense to us until Bo-Katan explained it, right? In the second season.
I just accepted that as a Mandalorian code because my familiarity with the Mandalorians, but also mainly you never saw a Mandalorian really take a helmet off.
Well, but again, if you'd watch Rebels and Clone Wars, you have. So
right.
You know. So that again, that's the thing is, you know, they're just, my point is there's aspects of it that only because people knew they missed something did they complain about it. Otherwise, you wait for the story to tell you. And I think it did do a good job of letting people know what they needed to know.
Well, two things to what Ian said. First, my wife loved the Harry Potter movies, never even turned a page in any of the books. And her friends who loved the books were like, oh, but did you not get this part? And she's like, no, I didn't know it was missing. So, no, it was great. Right. I liked it. It was fun.
Right.
And I kind of split the difference because, like Ian, I saw that Clone Wars movie in the theater. But I'm a little bit closer to Jonathan in that, you know, it was on Cartoon Network and, you know, I don't even think I had a TiVo at the time. I had to remember to set my VCR for Saturday morning. So I didn't see that much of it. When I saw it, I'm like, oh, this is pretty good. This character's cool. This one's cool. And then I'd miss whole seasons. And I checked out Rebels because I knew enough about it. And right away, I'm like, oh, wow, this is really the Disneyfication
from the start, that we've been learned about.
It was great. But at the same time, it was like, we had a chopper. He's much more cartoony, you know, and I liked it. And then I was probably going to be turned off by Rebels. But then Frank Oz was Yoda in an episode. I'm like, well, obviously I have to stick around because they're willing to do big stuff. I didn't see it through to the end. Just keeping track of everything. But I enjoyed it. I had enough familiarity. I knew who Sabine was. I knew, you know, I knew who Chopper was. I knew all that.
But we knew what happened in the finale, and because Ezra's fate and Thrawn's fate is really pretty important. If you don't watch Rebels going into the season, it's a major. I mean, it's what the season's roughly all about.
Yeah, I think the first episode was kind of like that. You know, that first page in 70s and 80s Marvel comics, where it's like, this is probably somebody's first issue. All right, so here's who Reed Richards is. Here's who Nihilus is. Forget Nihilus. You know, and it's like you try to just like, all right, we'll give you enough, and then you'll figure it out. Or by the way, maybe you won't figure it out.
I love that you use that analogy because I feel like, I don't know. I mean, I'm reading comics for so long, but you know, I mean, all of us had to start somewhere. And that's the thing. I started collecting. I read comics a bit in the 70s, but I started seriously collecting in like 82. And that was the thing. Mm. Back then, it's like you knew all the seminal stories. You had the references all the time. You knew exactly what the issues were. And personally, I went back and bought most of them. I'm talking Marvel, right? Like Marvel comics, they just, whether it was through exposition or it was a first page or what it was, they told you everything you needed to know whenever you jumped in. You know, I mean, if you started at X-Men at issue 160, you know, if you started Amazing Spider-Man at issue 231, you know, it didn't matter because they told you what you needed to know.
Well, I don't want to go off. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole. But to Ian's point, my first Uncanny X-Men was number 176. Scott Summers is on his honeymoon with Madeline Pryor and he fights a squid. And that's there's late. Like one, yeah, great cover. But there's like that's 1983. So there's one other page of like another story where like Wolverine's up to something with the Morlocks. I'm like, oh, I want to know what happens with that page. But it's the least accessible starting point. But it was enough that it hooked me, and I'm like, well, I want to see what happens next.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about the X-Men all day. Maybe we should do a special X-Men. Yeah, but like those who is that 1 year artist, Paul?
Paul Smith. Fantastic. Like, by this point it was John Romita Jr. But yeah,
the Paul Smith stuff was the stuff where I was like, this book's incredible. Yeah. It's so good looking and amazing because it looked like the cartoon stuff as an artist for Ralph Bakshi. This stuff, Ian, I texted you during the second episode, which I watched, you know, a few hours after the first one, and I was like, yo, that scene rips. The scene, and we're talking about the scene where they pursue the Balin's apprentice to the shipping yard, to where they're building the ships, and I was like, oh, this is really clicking for me now. And I gotta tell you guys, looking at the entire series, episode 3 leans a lot on some beats that we've got from New Hope, things like coming out of hyperspace into prematurely into an asteroid belt and a destroyed planet toyed and things like that, and then seeing like a new super weapon type of thing, like that's the
Star Wars repeating beats.
I got you on that, but guys, from episode 4 on, I'm fully in love with this series, and I surprised myself. By the time we get to the far off new, parallel galaxy, and we meet Thrawn, even the Elon Musk of it all, when we're seeing the set pieces of that Star Destroyer and the zombified, repaired with gold and shit, like stormtroopers, the scope of it feels amazing. And I'm like, okay, now Filoni's cooking with gas. This is what he is all about. And I got what the Filoni fanboy loyalists are all about. And I'm like, this is fun storytelling, regardless what you think of acting, regardless what you think of, like you said, Ian, repeat beats and things. I was so in. It was so awesome.
I have a couple quibbles, which we could talk about, but generally, love it. For me, honestly, episode 2 on, I was like, this is just great. It's everything I wanted, you know?
Everything I wanted. And again, we can always talk about that middle episode where you see the place between, the four stuff, but where do you guys want to start? Where do you guys want to start with this? Cause we're already 17 minutes in, but there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah. I was going to say, my background, I didn't get to it before we were talking about X-Men and Squids. My background with Clone Wars, I saw the Clone Wars film, and I was probably more in the target demographic, being that I was a younger boy. And I saw it with my mom. Hi, Mom. She's probably watching right now. I saw that, and then I watched Rebels live, and I watched Clone Wars, I watched Rebels, all that. So going in, I think it was, I wasn't going to be lost. I was kind of worried that my mom and my girlfriend would be lost watching it, but, as someone who went in, my girlfriend's only seen Rebels like kind of over my shoulder when I was rewatching it. She getting to watch it through her eyes was very interesting because she did immediately fall in love with characters. She thought Ahsoka was the most badass Jedi she'd ever seen. And for me, I think that this series really, I think at first I didn't know what was the story we were trying to tell, not just fit things into continuity, set things up for the future. And I think around episode 5, when you're talking about Ahsoka and Anakin in the World Between Worlds, I think for me, this series really kind of honed in on something and kind of connected with the Last Jedi's idea of failure is the greatest teacher. And I know a lot of people say that they don't understand what Ahsoka learned through the season, or they don't understand what the show is trying to say. And I think it's a continued rumination on this idea that failure is not a bad thing. It can suck, but you kind of have to get up, dust yourself off, and figure out what did I learn, and not be defined by the master that came before you. And she learns from Anakin, just because he failed, just because he went down a dark path, that does not mean it's her fault or that won't happen to her as well. And so I think that was the strongest thing that the series I really honed in on and I really connected with.
I think that's a really strong episode too. That episode, the Clone Wars throwback episode with the warnings and the Vader imagery and the warnings that Ahsoka might follow down a dark path. I thought that stuff was awesome. It worked for me. It totally clicked. I think some of the issues people have, though, is Sabine's the driving force for the season in a lot of ways. Even though it's called Ahsoka, Sabine, and she's got some great motivations. She wants to get to the other galaxy where Ezra's been lost to. She starts that in the very first episode. That's Sabine's goal. And Ahsoka is a little bit more, let's watch. Let's kind of take things in like a more wise and Jedi way. And if it's called Ahsoka, but Sabine is the most active character, I can see how that's frustrating for people. But when has this not just been a gang of science fiction like characters all on a ride together?
That's right. You know? And I mean, look, again, that episode, The World Between Worlds, is, I mean, it's all Ahsoka and so much about her journey. And I think it's very much about her choice to either accept things or to fight and to live, right?
I mean, plot-wise, it doesn't throw the football very far down the field because there's not a lot, because she's in a state of like hibernation underneath the water or this and that.
Right.
That being said, character-wise, it is a battle with herself wondering if she is going to follow this dark path. I thought that Vader stuff was awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah, I think I was just going to say that. I know that a big, and you see it a lot with how Peridia is designed, a big, in the same way that George Lucas pulled a lot from Akira Kurosawa, and he pulled from Westerns, things like that. It is very apparent, and has been apparent for a long time, that Tolkien and C.S. Lewis are really big inspirations for Dave Filoni. And I think that episode being the moment when Ahsoka goes from being Ahsoka the Gray to Ahsoka the White, I think that episode is central to the plot, because without that development, I don't think she's as in tune with herself to use the Purrgil as their way, because she was just going to use the map like Thrawn and they were going to use. Yeah.
And the Purrgil and space whales. Yeah.
But that analogy for Gandalf is very on point. Mm-hmm. You know, she had conflict and even conflict with Sabine, with how she was dealing with Sabine, you know, the Ahsoka before that would have had a much harder time with Sabine's choice. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, Sabine gives herself to the enemy. Yeah. And the enemy destroys the map, so there is no continuation.
And I have to say, and it sort of reminds me a bit of like, you know... over the years, you know, we've all, and I want to get into this in a different aspect, but, you know, the ending to Return of the Jedi, it's always like the... Oh, well, okay, Darth Vader's killed all these people, but at the end, he kills the Emperor, he's fully redeemed, he gets to go to heaven and be an angel, you know? It's like, I mean, so many people have been like, wait, what? You know, that's it? You know, he's just fine? You know, one act of contrition.
And if you go by the special editions, he gets to be young again, too. You know?
Right, right.
The original theatrical cut, he was an old man, but now it's like, well, but look how handsome you are now. See? It makes up for everything. Exactly. It makes up for all those rebels you killed at the end of Rogue One.
Well, by the way, it's not just a special edition. It's that's canon.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I know. But my heart appreciates that actor's name was Sebastian Shaw. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, you know, if you read the books, I was just going to add, if you read the books, it is actually canon that he goes back and forth between looking like Sebastian Shaw and looking like Hayden Christensen. That is a canon bit.
I like it.
I think the point is exactly. Even in that episode of Ahsoka, it's how he's seeing himself, right? And I want to discuss what exactly that is, who that is that Anakin, and particularly from what we get in that last shot, you know, of the last episode. But you know, the duality thing is really interesting. The purity of motive is interesting to me. What Ahsoka's looking to do, you know, and what that's all about. This show ended in a place of going I definitely did not expect. And obviously everyone's talking about those three episodes of Clone Wars, you know, about the overarching, you know, idea of what the Force is and what's going on. I'm fascinated by the fact that they ended it there. And that's the whole Bail and Skull plot story, what he's looking for. You know, I find that never expected that. Honestly, if nothing else, that makes it important that this is Ahsoka. Okay. You talk about it being, was it Sabine's show? No. At the end there, it's very much and can only be Ahsoka on this journey because of what happened to Ahsoka. Previously, I get it. We have people that only seen the live version, haven't seen it. But it's Ahsoka had this experience with Anakin. Very specifically.
Obi-Wan.
But very specifically, she was Anakin's Padawan. You know, that is so important. That means so much more than just any random Jedi. That even that as whatever Ezra did there, and as great as Ezra is in his
Ezra
way,
Ezra didn't do anything. He sat around with the Noti while Thrawn put his troops together. He protected the Noti. He's like grilling.
By the way, there's a reference that, you know, one of the things that disappointed me about the show is, you know, they give you pieces on getting it to show, but there's a lot missing that we don't understand about what happened with Thrawn there and Ezra and the Night Sisters. And like for instance, those stormtroopers that had the red on them, well, I figured they were going to be zombies to begin with.
Same.
So then people had problems with zombies. Why did she have to be reanimated?
Yeah.
But tell me, Ezra blew up and killed a bunch of them, and that's what he has going for him is the zombies. So that was one of those places I was like, well, wait, what?
Tell me, I take that one zombies. Back. I actually thought they were repairs to the armor, not to dead stormtroopers. I thought those were armor repair over having been in this derelict galaxy for so long.
That could be.
In the same way that the Star Destroyer was completely repaired. And I was like, guys, the scope on that Star Destroyer showing up was fucking awesome. Real quick, Abe Duenas over in South Carolina says, Ahsoka is taking the universe into the dark arts. Feels like it's becoming Magic the Gathering. It's always been sci-fi fantasy. So this has always had a place in it, you know?
And this isn't
Star Trek. This is sci-fi fantasy.
So here's the thing. You know, particularly Clone Wars, for anyone that's a Star Wars fan that hasn't watched Clone Wars, you know, the thing I've said to most people about it when I say you really should watch this is Filoni got his hands on it and he redeemed the prequels. He makes them work. They expound on so many ideas. Because in a similar fashion to what I'm saying about Ahsoka, we have that same issue with the prequels. There's so much story that isn't on the screen. There's so much about, I mean, in particular, the transition for Anakin going dark. You see it happening over the course of Clone Wars. In particular, you see exactly what Palpatine did in manipulating the Jedi and putting him in these trying situations that just slowly more and more tainted them. You know, took them away from what they were supposed to be as, you know, true guardians, you know, and, you know, instead, you know, being soldiers. It's not what Jedi is supposed to be. So we tainted the light side, in particular Anakin.
Is that a strike against the prequels that they are thin in that way? I mean, is it a boon to the fact that Lucasfilm was one of the very first companies that did the whole transmedia across multiple outlets. I mean, the Clone Wars is almost, if you want to enjoy the prequels, Clone Wars really is kind of like, you kind of have to watch it.
But the problem is they made it later. So, you know, Lucas was involved.
But it's not revisionism. It feels like filling in the blanks, right? That's it doesn't feel entirely like revisionism. It doesn't necessarily contradict anything.
It existed because Lucas wanted to flesh out that era. Yes. And he's, you know, you listen to Dave Filoni talk about it. Yes, he did have a lot of, you know, that was when he was full on his Padawan, but you listen to stories, a lot of times he would literally say they'd be walking in the hall and George would randomly go, oh yeah, Darth Maul's coming back. And he would go, figure it out. And then I think recently I heard the anecdote that Dave Filoni was late to a meeting. And when he walked in, the meeting was George explaining Mortis to the whole crew and like who was going to be writing it. Like, he was like, okay, this is what we're going to do next.
And that was George's idea.
It's all George.
They come from George. Yes.
Great is like, you know, all the fans are like thinking that Disney bought George's idea and was like, peace, thank you, we're going to run with it. But we still have Lucas ideas, especially here. Like this Mortis stuff, can you explain it? And going forward, folks, if we talk about the Noti, yes, we're talking about the Ewoks. The little turtle guys. I don't know. I haven't read that anywhere else. I'd like everybody to know that I coined that term, the Ewoks. The little turtle snail Ewoks, as Delacom says in the comments. They are the Ewoks, and they're my favorite characters next to Balin in this season because I love little cute animals like that. They're the best. Anybody who uses a slingshot is the best. Okay. Ian, I think we got to explain the Mortis thing to people who did not watch.
Let's talk about it. Well, should talk about it anyway because we need to talk about what we were given there to postulate on where they're going with
it. Absolutely, because you sent me an article that I thought was really valuable in explaining it because I just thought the ending of this season was scope with the Balin stuff, and I thought it was really cool, and I thought it was beautiful imagery, and I was still in it to win it because I enjoy this season so much. But when I started reading about the Mortis stuff, I was like, wow, this is cool. Again, look, rest in peace, Ray Stevenson.
In essence, there's three episodes of the Clone Wars. They're kind of trippy. Obi-Wan, Ahsoka, and Anakin go through a portal, a black hole, whatever. They go in and end up in what they believe to be a different dimension, whatever, and this planet Mortis. And they encounter three beings, you know, the father, the son, and the daughter. And the son represents the dark side, the daughter represents the light side, and the father represents the balance. You know, he's the one that basically keeps the peace. And it's basically this whole thing that the father's aware that Anakin, you know, is supposedly the prophesied, you know, balance. And basically the idea is that he wants Anakin to stay there and take his place because he's going to die or go away. And over the course of it, Ahsoka gets killed and the daughter gives her life force to bring her back to life. And Anakin is actually shown his future as Darth Vader by the son, straight up shown it. And believes, you know, believing he'd be alive, of course, the audience knows he's actually shown the actual true future. Mm-hmm. Okay. And given a choice to stay. And ultimately, they don't stay and their memories are wiped. But an aspect of the daughter, the Mirai, which is this owl thing, continually go from then on appears to Ahsoka. Like it's
throughout Clone Wars and Rebels.
Yes.
Wow. Yes. That's cool.
And so back in the episode of Mandalorian the Jedi, you see the Mirai.
Mm-hmm. In the tree where she's training, where he goes. Yes. That's so cool, guys. That's so cool. I read a lot of articles about this stuff, and I didn't catch that in any of the articles that was a Mirai.
Yeah, Mirai's in the last episode of the Clone Wars as well, where Vader. Spoilers. There's a time jump around the time when Vader is in his full armor, and he finds a lightsaber that he gave to Ahsoka, and flying above him is Mirai the Convor. And then Mirai also appears a few times in Star Wars Rebels.
And so when you saw it in Mandalorian, you were losing your mind. Like, that's so fucking cool.
I yelled about it in the finale of Ahsoka. My girlfriend had no idea. She was like, it's an owl thing. I was like, Mirai! I was like, the Convor!
Yeah. And not only that, but Ian, going back to what you told us about Anakin being told by the father that he needed to replace him as the balance between the son and the daughter in this episode, the father is the statue Balin's standing on the end of the season. And then you see Mirai and you see the look of acceptance from Anakin there.
Let's talk about what Balin says his whole motivation is. He's tired of the back and forth. Because if you think about Star Wars history, it's okay. The Jedi are sort of in power. The Sith are sort of in power. And it just keeps going back and forth. He's tired of the back and forth.
Oh, he would have loved the sequel trilogy. He would have loved the sequel trilogy. He would have been the biggest fan. When she says, I'm Palpatine or Skywalker at the end, he would have been like, right? He would have done the Leonardo DiCaprio point at the screen and been like, awesome. It's done.
But that's exactly the point. He wants to end that because, are we going again? It's this way. It's that way. Who's in power? Who's not in power? You know? So how would he do that? You know, if he's actually going to... There's a theory out there, essentially, that...
I'm sorry, Ian,
you're looking to take the place of the father.
And you're chopping up on us. You're chopping up on us if you want to repeat that real quick. Sorry. No.
That there's a theory about Balin taking the place of the father, and theoretically, Ahsoka taking the place of the daughter, and maybe Shin takes the place of the son.
Mm-hmm. Balin's apprentice.
It's an interesting idea that I could see them at least, you know, exploring with all of them there, still there, right? So that's an interesting idea.
And when it ends up being Ezra, are people going to be ticked?
Well, Ezra's gone. So it's not going to be Ezra. So the bigger idea, though.
Does it have to happen on this planet?
Well, that's what we don't know. I mean, is this Mortis?
The statue's pointing to something. Yeah, in a similar way in Star Wars Rebels, there was a painting of the father that eventually pointed to the portal that Ezra used to get to the world between worlds. The statue, what Balin is standing on his hand, he's pointing, and if you see off in the distance, there's something flickering on a mountaintop. It's the Eye of Sauron. and so we know there is a goal, a destination, whether that takes you to Mortis, whether it's another obelisk that you go into, whether Peridia is revealed as Mortis, we don't know, but.
Raymond Russell in the comments says they were in Rebels too, right? The mural that opens some sort of Lothwolf gateway or something. Cool. Okay, Raymond's with you. Christian and I are catching up.
Yeah, well, that's actually what I wanted to jump in with, Jonathan, because, you know, you and I, we've it's gone on record as cool. not being as caught up. It is cool, that's and it's right. interesting, but the show,
I don't give a shit.
I was going to say, the show cool. works on the level of like, oh, this is a really cool yeah. story. Oh, that means something, but it doesn't take away from the show, you know?
Yeah.
I think
yeah,
that there are a couple of, there's that. A couple of leaps. A really good friend of mine who's only watched live action stuff, he texted me after the episode with the space whales. He's like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. He's like, I'm so angry.
Don't be friends with that guy anymore.
Well, he was best man at my wedding. I kind of have to. Okay, but, well. But I no, just, you don't so, have to. But I think that that's like the one person that I heard that from. You know what I mean? Because
for all the your friend part, the same. Space yeah. whales, I'm out. And yeah, he stayed right,
exactly.
It, you know?
Wait, that was your first marriage, though. If you get married no. again, I'll do it.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm waiting for.
And then we can erase that guy. Right, space exactly. whales are cool, man. We learned that from
Way of Water, Ahsoka,
like Rebels, Farscape. Space like whales. If you don't have whales or these right? Ewoks in there, then like you're not really doing sci-fi. I'm sure Star Trek's done it at some point.
X-Men did it
with the yeah. They did it with Discovery with the spore drive.
You so, tell that yes. to your best yeah. man. Not so you know.
Tell it to Piacon.
Yeah, that guy's fourth best man now.
Right, exactly.
That guy's you Tim guys Story's, are, you guys Tim are Story's one best three. Man at this yeah. point. Yeah. All right. Getting back to it. Now that I'm getting over my anger at Will. Okay.
Well, no.
Will slander.
The point that Christian made that I think is really valid is, okay, great. Sure. You know, Garrett and I get this on a different level and we're totally getting the Easter eggs or at least where they're leading. But it's okay if you didn't get it because it's sort of a cool, interesting thing that calls back so many other classic, you know, stories, you know, I mean, go, you know, it's Joseph Campbell storytelling, right? Mm-hmm. That's what Lucas loved anyway. And you know what? So great. In the next season, you'll see this journey. You'll see what this is. And that's fine.
Will there be a next season, Ian?
Well, that's the thing is, I mean, you know.
Because I did, I intentionally did not call this Ahsoka season one special because this is now part of a fabric over there at the Disney Plus shows that involves Mandalorian, involves Boba Fett, possibly. It involves everything.
This was written for there to be a season two. It doesn't guarantee it.
Okay.
But this was not written as a one-off because if Ahsoka and Ezra, you know, got, you know, and Sabine all got back at the end of episode 8, this was just a setup thing. It's you know, a bridge to what's next, which Thrawn's back, and it's that movie.
Right.
But no, we don't get, I mean,
we get an Emperor Strikes
there's nowhere else we get what happened to Ahsoka if it isn't season two.
Right. She and Sabine are stranded on this far off planet with the Ewoks. And, you know, I think it's so cool, man. And I want to see a Mandalorian season dealing with the appearance of Thrawn. I want to see how the appearance of Thrawn shifts things in the underworld that maybe Boba Fett has to deal with to give him a goal beyond civil planning. Like, I want to see all that stuff. I think
we talked about this when we talked about the Mandalorian, which is, you know, I mean, look, the ending of that Mandalorian season, I was really surprised that they resolved the Mandalorian, call it Civil War, you know, Moff Gideon, all that stuff so quickly. I did not think, wow, going into season three, that would be it, you know? And my feeling was the setup at the end there was they basically turned the presumed next season of the Mandalorian into the Rangers of the New Republic show that they end up not doing. And right. that's fine. And that's cool. Yeah. I think that could be a really cool show. So
I agree.
My feeling is that I think we're still, you know, a season or two of maybe every one of those shows talking about maybe Boba Fett, certainly Mandalorian and Ahsoka before you get the Thrawn movie. That's
and
my
possibly
opinion.
A Space Rangers or whatever it's called show.
I don't think we're getting that show. I think they've moved right. that show.
You think
into
that's Mandalorian season three?
Yeah. Four.
Or four. Yeah. Raymond Russell is saying, hey, Geekscapists. This felt like the next season of Rebels. Also, don't sleep on Rebels. I don't think any of us intend on sleeping on Rebels. Like that was really revered when it came out. People really loved it. You know, and all that stuff is on Disney Plus. And
has James sometimes Earl
I
Jones.
Watch that stuff. Yeah, guys. Speaking of appearances of stuff like that, when Anthony Daniels reprised his role as C-3PO in that surprise appearance, I think in episode 6 or 7, like your heart leaps out of your chest, right?
Yeah,
that was great. And it was fun, even if it was like, hey, what's C-3PO doing here? It's a little bit of a, you know, Deus Ex Machina to get out of that situation. But we didn't care. We got Anthony Daniels back as C-3PO.
Forget the Deus Ex Machina of it. I don't actually agree with you there.
Leia sends 3PO, it sort of is,
but because the question becomes, where the hell is Leia? And unfortunately, it was great to get 3PO because you can't get Leia. And that is the problem.
If they had given us CGI AI Leia, that would be a very different conversation right now. Giving us C-3PO was perfect. It's like,
Leia can't be there. Why couldn't she go on? You know, she could be on a holovid and beam in. You know, but no, they didn't do that because.
Just to answer Ian's question, and then Garrett, of course, she had already gone over her roaming minutes on her data plan, so she couldn't film one. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, you're good. I'm curious because I've just been getting a lot of people's opinion on this recently. Obviously, we're building to this movie where, you know, the Imperial Remnant versus the New Republic. Do you think that there's going to be a point where they kind of have to address the Luke Skywalker, the Han Solo, the Leia.
That's exactly where I was going with that.
Yeah, and I'm curious because there's been a debate, and I think I lean way towards one side than the other, is the idea of recasting those characters. Because I'm personally, I do not want the deep fakes anymore. I don't want the CG faces. I don't understand. I think this show showed a perfect example of you can use, you know, like for Mon Mothma. We just, you know, it didn't break anything that we have an actress that has played her primarily in prequel storytelling, now being the sequel storytelling. I think
I told Ian when she showed up here, I went to IMDb and I said, Ian, she's been playing this character since episode 3.
Yeah.
And she's awesome.
Yeah.
She in Rebels too.
She played it through Rebels. She played it obviously in Andor and she played it here.
She'll probably be in the movie.
I was like, wait.
Yeah.
Guys, this has been 20 plus years, and has she been playing Mon Mothma this whole time? Yeah. Episode 3 on, and it's awesome. And I don't hear her get the kudos I think this actress deserves. She's really great at it.
I love her. And
great in Andor. Great. One of the incredible performance.
That being said, when we do merge these things, obviously we have Luke Skywalker in the Mandalorian stuff already, but when this stuff ultimately merges, do we need those characters that much? Do we need the presence of the Luke and Leia and Han that much?
You know, it's really weird to not see them. Obviously, it depends.
They don't need to be the onus of the. Yeah,
I wouldn't want them to be the main characters. No, I would. Right. I just think it's like with Mandalorian season 2. At a point, you needed Luke Skywalker to come in when you have this Imperial Remnant that have an army. Like at some point, those characters.
And there's a Darksaber falling out.
It's like at a point. I'm not, you know, I've gone back and forth with people on this. It's not so much that I'm dying for. Luke Skywalker is my favorite Star Wars character. I have plenty of Luke Skywalker stories. I'm just saying, I just think it's too many hoops are having to be jumped through. I think you just acknowledge them
starts to Forrest Gump a little
scenes,
bit.
You know, yeah. I don't want him in the show necessarily, but in that movie, yeah.
If it's to the amount that they have. Used them in the Disney Plus shows, especially like guys. I loved the opening of the fourth or whatever this most recent Indiana Jones. I thought that the aging
was
awesome. If it's on that level, guys, I'll take those characters back.
Yeah,
I'll take them back because I thought the opening of that Indiana Jones
big budgeted movie though
was awesome. This will be a big budgeted movie. This will not be on Disney Plus. This will be in a sense something that can probably give fans like. A closure that they can get to that story without having to visit the sequels.
Leia is going to be the problem, obviously, you know, because you can do it with Han, you can do it with Luke. It's going to be
also Harrison is not coming back even for a CG face. He's
right, but that's back. What I'm saying, man. That Indiana Jones is awesome. What's his name? Get the guy
Alden Ehrenreich. Bring Alden Ehrenreich, please. Great. I'm begging. Pay your actors and bring back Alden Ehrenreich.
Don't you like him? I thought he was great.
I love him. Pay your actors and bring him back.
For the layman, you're talking about the actor in Solo, right?
Yes.
I thought he was great. I liked that movie better than a lot of other Star Wars movies that have come out in the years around it. I won't name it.
I love Solo.
But I thought he was great.
In that Coen Brothers movie, he's fucking awesome, too.
Yeah. Here's the thing about those characters. Do they need to be in a Thrawn movie? I mean, notwithstanding the original ideas behind Thrawn, you know, the whole idea of like Leia's in the background. You know, if it was only a military fight movie, maybe not. Now you bring the Night Sisters in, it's full on force stuff. I mean, how do you do it without Luke? Mm. You know, it doesn't really line up. Luke has to be in that fight, right?
Mm. Yeah, you just have Mara Jade come in.
Would be awesome. And listen, it's Filoni.
And Dash Rendar.
You're joking. Kyle Katarn. Listen, look what Filoni's already done. Everyone's hungry for all these things. And Filoni, he has a list. You know, don't be surprised.
Good, because I grew up on that stuff for real, guys.
I know, like, I'm saying.
When nobody talked to me in middle school and high school, I was straight up playing my like Dark Empire 1 and 2 with the original Dark, you know, troopers. And I love that stuff.
Look,
when Thrawn
showed up in Rebels and suddenly Thrawn is now canon again, you know, and for us to now end up here where what Filoni has done is he's literally done the full circle of getting to it's now heir to the Empire. That's mm-hmm. what it is with Night Sisters.
And I was annoyed when he used the heir to the Empire title as an episode title because I was like, come on, man, leave something sacred. But that being said,
that's the point.
Rock and roll. Because I kind of wanted Heir of the Empire to be the name of the movie.
And Jonathan, and the head Night Sisters, Claudia Black.
Yeah. Yeah, you had to point that out because the makeup is so intensive on those Night Sisters, but I couldn't unsee it as I went forward.
Knew, you couldn't, yeah.
And I love it because Farscape is the greatest science fiction ever created. Don't be wrong about that, Geekscape, named after Farscape. Somebody, Delcom, I think in response to your best man, who's really getting raked across the coals. Delcom says, listen, I'll buy into these wizard samurai monks running around with their light swords fighting mythic evil, but space whales, I'm out. Raymond Russell says, can we get some chiss? And somebody
says,
got
one, Thrawn.
I want some Yasin Lemiri too, because I think you can solve the Night Sisters real fast by tossing a couple worms at them, snake guys at them.
I want to say there's some people... I wonder how did that Thrawn being so brilliant play to people that didn't know that character so well? Because for me, I'm forgiving a lot like it's Thrawn and he's a step ahead of everything. But I do feel like some people were like, all right, whatever. Like he didn't do anything, you know?
He stranded their asses.
Yeah, right.
How he didn't just stomp them.
He didn't care. He's like, you know what? I'm going to go now.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that he overlooked Ezra coming aboard and all that. But if he has a plan for Ezra,
I don't think
we don't know. I think he just missed that. Okay, so that was an overlook.
I was a little surprised they gave us that so quickly. Like they didn't even show us how. But fine, he's in Stormtrooper uniform and he took a shuttle. But I was surprised they just did it just like that. Like okay,
yeah.
I knew as soon as it was coming, that's who it was. But yeah. I was a little surprised by that.
Chris Fallon says, I was disappointed that Zeb didn't appear, especially since the Rangers showed up. You're right. That's fair. The Rangers showed up in that episode 7.
Yeah. We didn't get him yet, but we know he's out there and he will, you know, it all come together. And I think, again, that's my point. I think the way it's set up, the Ranger show is now Mandalorian with the Rangers. And that's kind of cool. And
which can also be a Boba Fett season.
Yeah. Or bring them together, whatever, you know, or, you know, whether you do another season of Book of Boba Fett, or just if Boba Fett fall back into it. Obviously, that's the universe, and they're all going to be in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I really wanted to see a Boba Fett. We talked about the Boba Fett finale. Go back and listen to that episode of Geeks Gave Us. I thought that bringing back the bounty hunters from Empire would have been a great finale whenever she said, hey, go get us some backup, and you started seeing, like, Bosk and people, IG-88, show up. I would have been like... Oh, this is a party. Zookas, we got the Magnificent Seven of bounty hunters in a showdown right here. Yeah, get all those guys. That would have been a sick ending.
You know, speaking of things that not everyone watches or reads, you know, the current Marvel comics are canon.
Yeah.
And has all of those characters popping up all over the place.
Delcom says, for a related, unrelated question for the group, do we ever get a Chiss Ascendancy series further down the line? Give me Star Wars, Game of Thrones, West Wing, please.
Sounds really cool. The answer is no.
Yeah, it would have to be a series. And I think the series, guys, like on these Disney Plus series, is this kind of like going down in popularity and what reward? Is it like a declining reward here for Disney to be making these things?
I think that Ahsoka is not that she's really a fringe character, but you have to think about what they were. You got a Mandalorian, which, okay, it's sort of like Boba Fett. Boba Fett's a big name. Obi-Wan's a big name. Andor was definitely like, all right, you're going to have to come along with us for this ride. And the series was great. So people forgive
word
it.
Of mouth, yeah, definitely.
I think once you get beyond Ahsoka, it's like, all right, but who are the big characters that you can do? And I mean, you know, if they were to actually spend time with Thrawn, just about him, I want to shout out Lars Mikkelsen, who portrays him. What I to circle back on this idea of how we don't really see him do anything. It's kind of like what I thought the first time I saw Return of the Jedi, where the Imperial Guard, the guys in red, never did anything in the whole movie. And you're like, oh, that's because they're the most badass ones on that Death Star. That if they need to, and we get to see a variation on that later in subsequent canon. But and it just like watching him, you know, just his underplaying the reaction. It's almost like Ian McDiarmid as Senator Palpatine, you know, underplaying everything, no big reactions, and just like, oh, you she was Padawan to Anakin Skywalker. Interesting, you know, which is like playing it that way. It's like it's such a big crazy reaction for us, you know, to be like, okay, now he's connecting the dots, let's see. I don't know, I think that those are the sort of things we're more likely to get, but I mean, I'm not going to pretend I know what that person in the chat asked for. Like, I haven't heard like of that. Yeah,
there's a whole line of canon. Timothy Zahn has come back and written Thrawn. He wrote a Thrawn trilogy, one of those features Thrawn and Anakin Skywalker. And then he wrote another one, Chiss Ascendancy. And actually, those books, there is in the Star Wars fandom, which I try to only keep myself to the positive counts and stuff like that. There is a lot of friction with depictions.
All three people,
Filoni's version of Thrawn and Zahn's version of Thrawn, so a lot of ons, they clash a little bit. I know that is something that some people. There's a little friction, I guess, that some people have. But.
Well, yeah, because there was, you know, what Zahn did was the original thing, and then that became not canon. And I mean, to me, give Filoni credit for at least bringing it in. And
well, his canon, I'm just saying his canon books paint Thrawn in a very different light. And then,
how so? This didn't feel entirely different than what I was reading in the Zahn books.
There's new Thrawn books.
Books are fitting into current canon now?
Starting around when Rebels brought him in season 3, Zahn wrote a new book that was just called Thrawn, and then Thrawn Alliances, I can't remember what the third one.
But how are they different than the Thrawn that we
the
knew?
Books
how
paint is this his, not just his crusade is much more painted as he's only working with the Empire to help the Chiss Ascendancy, and he is painted more of a sympathetic character. And then when he shows up in Rebels, he is a lot more like, you know, and even in the show, he says, long live the Empire. He's a lot more like, we're doing this for the Empire. And so some people think that he isn't a villain. He is a villain. Ultimately, he falls in a similar way to Anakin. But there is some friction in what he is necessarily fighting for, whether he is so allegiant to the Empire that he would say something like, long live the Empire, things like that.
See, my take is, because I knew some of that, and like there was a comic, you know, Thrawn background.
It adapted one of those.
That's canon. And my feeling is that's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that's all he is and that's all that's going on.
Yeah.
That's what we're seeing.
Yeah. I wish some people would think. I think too often, who would have thought that the internet would have so many snap reactions?
Right.
I think some people miss the nuance and some I think lines get picked to death because a lot of people, like, I mentioned with the Anakin and Ahsoka thing, Anakin saying, to paraphrase, like, you aren't a failure because I wasn't a failure, or something like that. People picked that up and said, like, oh, well, he's just saying because she has no agency. He's saying that, oh, because I'm great, you're great because I taught you. And that's not what he's saying. He's saying, I'm more than my failures. You're more than your failures. But because people just want to make a snap reaction. They don't read into the nuance. But
he's the character that's playing chess. Like ultimately, he plays chess.
Yes.
And that's how I thought about him back in middle school when I read the Zahn books. And he is still very much depicted as the character in all the stories from it. You know, whether it's canon or not canon, Thrawn is the character that plays chess while everybody else is playing checkers. That's what I love about him. It's so much fun. And he doesn't have superpowers. He's an Imperial who is an alien who built himself up as a tactician to the point where he was respected by people who were incredibly racist against alien alien races and did not give them promotions to the level that Thrawn achieved.
That's right.
Which is just a credit to how much of a badass he is. I cannot wait to see it in the fucking movie. Let's go. Well,
by the way, that's what's great about the last season of Rebels is you see Thrawn. He's just decimating them. And the only reason they don't beat him, Ezra sacrificed himself just to get Thrawn off the board.
That's what I got from this. Yeah. I'm in. Facebook user over here who has not registered with StreamYard, so he don't see his name, says, have you talked about the Koopas? The little turtle people. Yeah, dude. They're my favorite characters.
That's all London talked about.
Guys, I talked about the Ewoks for like 20 minutes. Delacom says, we'll know what direction if we ever get a Ilai Vanto cameo in the upcoming shows. Who is that, Garrett? Ilai Vanto?
He is the ensign that is assigned to Thrawn when he starts to acclimate to the Empire. So he's kind of his guide, but also he becomes like a close friend and confidant. Many people have wanted to see him be brought human character into live action. Yes, yeah. He helps Thrawn start to they learn from each other. But he's trying like a to help him into the Empire. Kind of.
No,
Bib
Fortuna took his own fucking place. No, Bib Fortuna's a jerk. He saw his chance and he took it. And then he started eating too much. Bib Fortuna was pretty bloated.
As we would all do if we took
over. Totally. I'd be eating so many frogs by the time I got to that throne. Ian, you were going to say something. Sorry.
So I feel like, you know, I don't think we talked enough about Morgan Elspeth.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she was awesome.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, of course.
But what do you need a sword for if you have witch powers?
Right? My feeling was, so Ahsoka ends up with that sword. I feel like they created that sword because it has to come into play later.
Well, that sword is from Clone Wars. Yeah, I mean.
Oh, then this
sword. The sword of Talzin, Mother Talzin, the sword is named after, she fought Mace Windu with that very sword. So it's just kind of
like. I'm saying, so I think that, but the need for having it, I feel like it's because now Ahsoka has it, right? Presumably.
She lost a blade, so make up for it.
Yeah. So Raymond Russell thinks that's interesting.
He says it's easier though. He says because flaming sword. Flaming sword.
It's the same reason why do Jedi need laser swords if they can do all these miraculous things at the Force?
They can force push, they can force lift.
Ezra said, "Hey, I don't need it, I'm good."
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it.
I love that meme. I sent you guys that meme about, you know, like it was right out of Rey and Luke.
Where he tosses the lightsaber?
Yeah,
but we knew Luke was going to do that the second that episode 8 started. I was like, he's tossing that lightsaber because that, you know, we knew that the director was going to try and shake things up, which I thought was great. I love that. The great thing about episode 8 is it really tries to change the board up, whether or not you think it succeeds or fails. Or I don't think it entirely succeeds fails. I think it's just
too great. I don't want to go off on a tangent about episode 8 right now.
But guys, here, this is what I liked about it. It felt like the familiar, but it also felt like some really fresh stuff. And ultimately, I think whether or not you're making Star Wars, it has to move. And this stuff moved. The fight in the trees with the ninja shadow fight in the trees. That was awesome. Like,
I thought
guys,
it was really cool stuff. Listen, I saw those last episodes on the big screen at the DGA with a great, audience. The DP was there, chatted with her about a bunch of stuff. By the way, the episode that you love so much with all the Clone Wars stuff in it, she did it all practical. They were mad at her. She got a lot of grief about it.
And they didn't shoot that on the volume.
They wanted her to use the volume and she didn't.
Love it.
She got in trouble
the smoke and everything.
It's awesome. Yeah.
The volume's great and everything. Awesome. Come on, guys. We can't just all go volume like that. I love that episode. I thought it was beautiful. Somebody criticized it and was like, you could tell they shot on a volume. I was like, I'm not so fucking sure, man. Cause like the depth is something you don't necessarily get. And you interact with things coming from depth into like the character's plane, and that's really hard to do on a volume.
No, I agree. And I also want to say, I thought for the most part, I really enjoyed the fight scenes. I had some people complain to me that they thought Rosario was moving a little too slow. I don't disagree there. I thought some of the movement, compared to stuff we've seen with other lightsaber combatants, I thought she got the moves down. I thought she looked really good doing them.
I mean, did she move slow compared to Sir Alec Guinness? I think she looked great.
To me, it felt like it was... Right. Absolutely it was going right. Samurai. I thought they were samurai moves. I thought it was precision over Yoda flipping around. And it's one thing that I don't enjoy about that Rogue One ending is that you suddenly aren't a samurai. You're something out of The Force Awakens, or not Force Awakens, the video games. It felt like more like a video game than you can't have these guys flying like around, and you lose the whole samurai mystique of it.
So one thing I love about honestly
Force Unleashed is what I was trying to say.
When you look at Rogue, that ending of Rogue One, and then when you look at the ending of Kenobi, you know, and it sort of justifies, and this has been discussed here and there about why is the fight so lame in episode four compared to what we see later that took place before. And the answer is that we're supposed to understand that they're not even bothering with all that poor stuff because they cancel each other out.
Yeah.
So it's a simple duel, you know, and it's a little slower because they're actively using the force against each other while they're doing it. Right?
Well, shout out to that last episode of Kenobi and Hayden's acting with that half-mast mask, because dude was acting with one eyeball showing, and it was fucking awesome. I love the imagery of that stuff, and you see it here.
I wanted to something I did want to give a shout out to was the costumes. You know, Baylan Skoll, Shin Nati, translating Anakin's outfit to from Clone Wars to the, you know, live action screen.
Yeah.
I hope it's hard for me to pronounce her name. Shauna Tripsik. She just recently passed away. She was the lead costume designer for this show, Mando,
Mandalorian. Who was she? Because my friend Emily Swallow put her on her Instagram because Emily plays the armorer, and I did a deep dive, and that is a big loss because she did some incredible work on all these Deep Plus shows.
I was watching a behind the scenes. There was like an 8-minute behind the scenes for Ahsoka that was released, and I had been to watch it on the day she passed. And you see her like dressing up Rosario, and it was an accident? I don't know. I just saw, you know, the reaction. But she did across all these shows. She has done such incredible work, and I hope, you know, her work will continue to live on. But it is such a tragic passing.
Yeah, well, that one surprised me.
Sorry, it's a good point in the sense of imagine taking these, you know, yes, it's with a certain segment of the fandom, but these beloved animated characters and getting them on the screen for the first time, you know, whether it's Bo-Katan, whether it's Ahsoka, even Chopper, you know.
Yeah, I loved Chopper. I texted Ian. I was like, I fucking love Chopper. I love Chopper.
They didn't look and move right. Just imagine if, like, Sabine hadn't looked right. Everybody would have been like, oh, come on.
And and Sabine was so perfect, even down to the way she stood, everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, and even Ezra, like, all right, this idea of an adult Ezra, I was like, you know, and I bought it.
Yeah. Can I just say in the finale, seeing, you know, when we cut into when they get inside the castle, when we cut to Ahsoka in the middle of the frame, all white, her two white lightsabers, Ezra holding a lightsaber look like Kanan Jarrus. Yep. Kanan Jarrus is one of my favorite Star Wars characters. And Sabine in her full Mandalorian armor with her green lightsaber. To go full fanboy, you know, it was one of the most beautiful things I've seen. I was in the theater
and everyone cheered.
I wish I could have been there for that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, guys, I hope that there's more to it because Ahsoka, I thought, was a fantastic series. And that is coming from, again, somebody who walked in without a whole lot of knowledge beyond what had come in the Disney Plus shows. And guys, credit to just good storytelling. It clipped. It was fun. And as a Facebook user says, just give me space wizards doing cool space wizard shit. And I think as long as the pace keeps up, I think it's so much fun. Hopefully, where do we think that we're going to see these characters again? But Mandalorian season 4, Ahsoka season 2, with the strike and with different things. And like, I think the landscape of streaming is changing. Sure. I think that this is going to delay things, but, you know, we'll see these characters again.
Well, it's, one, it's their own fault that it's delayed the studios. It's
But it is problematic about that, you know. John, I think we talked about this a little bit, you know, in our thread, you know, the amount of time, because it takes a long time to make these things. Mm-hmm. Like, and if we do assume there's another season, look, odds are Filoni's already written another season. I mean, it's just a question when they could start. They try to be very secret about that, you know, but obviously it has to be greenlit. But here's the thing. If it's greenlit and it's happening, it's probably already happened. They just haven't done a public announcement yet.
Sure.
Yeah, so, I think this season doesn't end the way it does if they're not convinced that they will at least tie it up, even if it's another season or it's like they surprise Disney Plus only movie, you know, something like that, or two parts.
They were shooting Mando season 2 before Mando season 1 even ever came out.
That's right.
When you read the behind the scenes stuff. So like you said, you know, before the writer's strike, he may have already written the scripts because, I mean, they were done shooting this thing a while ago.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
they were shooting that done last year.
And I think when it's when it's, while, a, when it's when it's sorry, Ian. But I think when it's a, when it's effects intensive stuff that you want it to look good, we're all willing to be like, oh, it's going to be 2 years, 2.5 years. Okay, if it comes out good, we'll be okay with it.
By the way, effects wise, and a friend of mine commented, it held up on the big screen for a very knowledgeable audience. Like, it's like, like the effects are that level, you know.
That's great.
So, but. Yeah, some of that effects take time. Some of it is that they're having these come out when they want, you know. I mean, there are decisions being made, you know, about that and where they're placing them. You know, I know Disney Plus, they're not trying to have several things on at once so they get lost. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's a lot going on about them, you know, pulling back on what they're making. But I'd be really surprised if we don't get a second season of this.
Well, I hope it's soon. We're already watching Loki, all of us. So we'll be back for some Loki in about 5 weeks. To talk about that. And guys, we also have the Marvels coming out in November. Yeah. And Garrett's favorite, Aquaman 2. I'm looking for, guys, I'm looking forward to the Marvels. You guys think I'm crazy, but
no, the trailers have gotten better.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm totally looking forward to the Marvels. I like all this stuff, guys. I was telling somebody today.
Because they've disappointed me. Marvel's hurt me a few times.
Sure, but you know what, guys? Just remember back to when we were first reading the. I mean, I'm not speaking for Garrett, but when I was first reading those Timothy Zahn books, and
how old were you,
guys? I was in middle school, and I was all by myself as a Star Wars fan. 25, yeah, and like guys in middle school, Jonathan, high school, Jonathan, waiting for Rebel Assault 2 so we could see the first live action acting film. Done in the Star Wars universe since Return of the Jedi. I'm buying Rebel Assault 2 on CD-ROM so I can do it. I'm buying Wing Commander 3 and 4 so I can see Mark Hamill in live action in a video game. Like, I am loving all this stuff. And now to have it, all the Marvel stuff and the Star Wars stuff, and I'll take the DC stuff too because Blue Beetle fucking rocked. Like, guys, I'm not going to do the naysaying thing with, like, I know that there's a lot of
hey guys, I want everyone to pay attention. Jonathan's not doing the naysaying thing.
I'll naysay later when like the individual thing sometimes
is when the red light's on.
What Heidi put in his water, I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
Craig Robinson says Ezra and Chopper to join the mod gang in Boba Fett season 2. Yeah, fuck it. Let's go.
Fucking A.
Because little middle school Jonathan reading the Zahn books and the Dark Empire comics. Man, would he dream of a day like this? Let's do it. Guys, thanks for joining me on this. This was fun. I hope the next series is as much fun as this one.
I want the Grogu and Chopper show.
Guys, I was sitting here and I was thinking about you know, Hayden being back and how we got an appearance of Qui-Gon in Obi-Wan, and I was like, it's time. It's time for Misa seeing my friend.
No, don't
feel like that.
Yes, come on, let's bring him back.
Bring back Jar Jar.
He was in the books. He was in one of the books, and they made it really sad. Bring him back.
Let's bring him back. Bring him back. I'm ready. It's time. I'm ready.
He's a lot more problematic than he used to be, and he works in a book. But
we'll smooth that out.
We open on 3PO giving him diction lessons.
I forgot about that.
We open on 3PO teaching him a new language to speak. And suddenly he's not doing pigeon English, whatever the heck it was.
Jonathan, what you said so many times, I was in high school reading the Timothy Zahn books, but also alone and also so excited. And I want to shout out Timothy Zahn because 91 was the first one. Timothy Zahn, if you see him at a convention, he'll sign his books. He'll sign them for free. Other stuff he charges for, but if you paid for one of his books, he's like, I feel like you've already spent enough money on it. So I had him sign all three of my books at Comic-Con Revolution this summer. So,
oh man, I still have all three of those books back in Austin, and maybe it's time I get them out to me so I can get Timothy Zahn to do it. Well, I'll see you guys at LA Comic-Con. I'll see you guys here to speak Loki. We're having fun. LA Comic-Con's so nice to me. They sent me an email, said, oh yeah, all those 8 or whatever panels you submitted. We're putting them all through. So I may need you guys to cover for me
Jonathan's
on some panels.
Jonathan's trying to suck me into going on my birthday.
Ian.
By making my wife do a panel.
Well, I put your wife on a panel because we had a really successful panel this past summer. And Ian, if you'd like to come to the convention, you can come. It's a comic book convention. I know it's not your thing. It's got pop culture stuff. It's got celebrities. It's got fun stuff that's maybe up your alley. But if you, if you want to spend the birthday alone.
The cast of Ahsoka will be there.
The cast of Ahsoka will be there. You know what? SAG strike pending.
That's true.
Right. But I'm hearing rumors of a few more weeks, and hopefully this thing resolves. Love you guys. Geekscapists, you know what to do. Subscribe and all that. Shout out to Chris Folios, who is in the chat of the hit One Hit Thunder podcast. And great talking
to
you guys.
Can I get a shameless plug in because you mentioned
Absolutely.
Loki? So we're covering Loki on my show, our show, but the show that I co-host, Marvel Movie Talk, right here on Geekscape Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. So we're doing like an after show each Friday. We already did the premiere, so we'll do all six. And that'll just whet people's appetite for the eventual Geekscape special. And we also have another episode where I spoke with the co-author of Scott Lang's book, Rob Kuttner, who I know was on here. And that'll be on Geekscape on Wednesday.
Yeah, if you guys are subscribed to the Geekscape YouTube channel, you guys will see it up on the YouTube channel this week. If you're watching this live, it'll be up on Wednesday. If not, go check out the YouTube channel. Subscribe to all of it. Okay. Get out of here. Go watch some more geek content, read some comic books, and play some video games. All right? Peace, everybody.
Bye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.